Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the legendary head coach Joe Gibbs and his times with Washington, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays, all coming up on your January 8th Football History Headlines in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where we're going to talk about some great gridiron history as we go through the headlines for the day of January 8th, and also talk about some great football Hall of Fame birthdays on the same day. So let's start right off with the headlines, and we'll go to January 8th, 1972. The NCAA announced that freshmen could play on teams starting in the fall season sports, according to the Chicago Tribune. Leading up to that, the freshmen were usually not allowed to play varsity games. That's why you see a lot of our football Hall of Famers that we're talking about only played 3 years of varsity ball. They had to play the first year on a freshman team. There are some exceptions. There are some years where war and some other circumstances where freshmen were allowed to play. But for the most part, 1972, that was sort of the line of demarcation where the freshmen were allowed to play. Let's move on to January 8th, 1984, the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Los Angeles Raiders defeated the Seattle Seahawks 30-14 to win the AFC Championship and capture the Lamar Hunt Trophy for the right to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. January 8th, 1984, that same day, RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. At the NFC Championship game, the Washington Redskins outlasted the San Francisco 49ers 24-21. According to the WashingtonFootball.com website, the Niners were down by 21 points in the fourth and staged a comeback. Two questionable penalties and a field goal later did them in as Washington advanced to their second consecutive Super Bowl by that three-point victory. And speaking of conference championships, let's fast forward 5 years and go to the 1989 games for the 1988 season. January 8th, 1989, Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. The AFC Championship game had the Boomer Esiason-led Cincinnati Bengals knocking off the Buffalo Bills 21-10 for the right to play in the Super Bowl. That same day at Soldier Field in Chicago, at the NFC Championship, it was the San Francisco 49ers taking care of business as they defeated the Chicago Bears 28-3. January 8th, 1998, the general manager of the New York Football Giants, George Young, resigned to accept a position with the league offices. Now let's move on to the college ranks. January 8th, 2007, the BCS National Championship once again had the top two teams in the polls squaring off against each other to produce a champion for the nation. This year it was Ohio State who held the top spot, and their opponents were the Florida Gators. SportsReference.com shows that how the game was a rout as number two Florida demolished number one Ohio State in a stunner 41-14. January 8th, 2008, Joe Gibbs retires for the second time as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Gibbs held the same position with the club from 1981 through the 1992 season, and in that span, he led the Redskins to 8 playoff appearances, 4 NFC championship titles, and 3 Super Bowl wins. And he did it with 3 different starting quarterbacks. The second time around were 3 solid years, but not to the heights the franchise had the first time around. January 8, 2009, at Dolphin Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida, number 2 Florida and top-ranked Oklahoma met in the 11th BCS National Championship game. the Sooners put up their great Heisman-winning quarterback, Sam Bradford, against Florida's Heisman winner from the previous year of 2007, Tim Tebow. Tebow and the Gators got the better of this game, according to ESPN.com, as Tebow passed for two touchdown passes and Percy Harvin rushed for 121 to lead Florida over Oklahoma 24-14. And speaking of Tim Tebow, on January 8, 2012, at the AFC Wildcard playoff game, the heavily favored Pittsburgh Steelers fell to the underdog Denver Broncos 29-23. The game went into overtime, and on the first play of the extra session, Tim Tebow found receiver Demaryius Thomas on an 80-yard touchdown pass to give Denver the upset. January 8, 2018, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The College Football National Championship hosted two strong SEC foes, with number 4 Alabama taking on number 3 Georgia for all the marbles. The website collegefootballplayoff.com tells all about the action. The Bulldogs dominated play in the first half and led 13-0 at the break. Tide coach Nick Saban, though, had a secret weapon. Saban turned the game over to his backup true freshman quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. Tua had a remarkable as he steered the offense and led the team to a comeback with 20 points over two quarters to force overtime. The freshman quarterback ended up becoming the game's MVP as he tossed three touchdowns, including the game-winning touchdown pass to freshman wide receiver Devontae Smith. The Tide rolled over Georgia 26-23 to claim their fifth title in 9 years. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
It's time to talk about those birthdays, those Hall of Famers. We'll start off January 8, 1922 in Jamesville, New York. The great guard from Penn State University, Steve Sui, was born. Steve played at Penn State right out of high school, but then the world was embroiled in a war. He served in the Army Air Corps for 3 years during World War II, which interrupted his college play. Steve was voted as an All-America when he returned in 1947, according to the NFF. His hometown of Cazenovia, New York, threw him a party. Sui hitchhiked his way from State College back to New York for the banquet, and there friends and family celebrated his accomplishments. They even chipped in and bought him a new car so he could drive back to school and didn't have to thumb it that way. When Sui's studies were completed at PSU, he played for a time with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Steve Sui into their museum in 1985 posthumously. January 8, 1927, Gates, Tennessee. The University of Indiana Swift halfback George Taliaferro celebrated his birth. The NFF states that Taliaferro was an instant success as a freshman at Indiana in 1945. George was a scoring machine that year as he put up three touchdowns, including an 82-yard interception return and a 95-yard kickoff return. He finished his incredible freshman season as the Hoosiers' leading rusher with 719 yards. Taliaferro followed that year up with a few good, more solid ones to eventually become the MVP of the team in 1948. The National Football Foundation selected George Taliaferro to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1981. January 8, 1959, Cincinnati, Ohio. Mark Herman, the Purdue Boilermaker quarterback, was born. When Mark graduated from Purdue, he was a top passer in NCAA college football history. Mark was the first in history to break two passing thresholds in a college career. First, the 8,000-yard plateau, and then the 9,000-yard one as well. His web bio on footballfoundation.org shares that Herman held 9 passing records at the time, the foremost being 707 passing completions and being responsible for 9,188 yards through the air. Herman finished as a unanimous All-American in 1980. The NFF voters sent Mark Herman into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2010. We thank you so kindly for joining us once again on these football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers, and for supporting the PigskinDispatch.com and this Pigskin Dispatch podcast. And we'd want you to make sure you talk to us and email us at PigskinDispatch@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking, how we can do some better things, or maybe change it up a little bit, which we will be doing in the coming months. And also, you can check us out at the SportsHistoryNetwork.com, where there's other great podcasts and great writers there too that you can check out their work and guests, and a lot of talent going on there. So make sure you check one of those places out, and as a matter of fact, check them all out, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, PigskinDispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that. Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.